Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We thank God for another day that we can lift this name up high, that we can praise him, that we can magnify his name. For the word of God let us know, he said, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. But yes, you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the hour of power broadcast is on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise thee, we magnify your name. We thank you, God, because you are God and you are God all by yourself. We thank you, God, for being Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, God, today for being our provider. Thank you, Father, in the name of you, for being Jehovah Shalom. Father, we thank you for being the God of peace. Father, we just thank you, God, for being the Almighty God, the all-blessed one. Father, the one that we can call on in the midnight, early in the morning. God, we just say thank you right now. Father, we thank you because you are righteous. God, you are God by your all, by yourself. And Father, we pray even now as we come before your people, God, that they are here, God, that they will receive, God, that souls will be saved, God, that lives will be changed, God, through the speaking of your word. And for this, I will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and God, we thank you. You are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we're excited about the Word of God. We're excited about what God is doing and what God is about to do. I want you to know that God, he is God. He is Lord. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Yes, I say so many times that he is the Alpha and Omega because he is. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So this morning, we want to go to the Word of God. And we're going to find the Word of God coming from John, the fourth chapter. And if we would use as a topic, we would use the Samaritan woman meet Jesus. The Samaritan woman meet Jesus. Why don't we start there at the beginning, at that first verse? When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, so Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." But his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." We see here in these verses that Jesus let us know in the Word of God that he had left Judea, and he had departed. He was going to Galilee. But then he knew that he must go through to Samaria. Although he was going to Galilee, he knew that he must go to Samaria. It was a need for him to go to Samaria. And it tells us when he came to the city of Samaria that he had found this woman. He had sat down at the well because he was tired. He knew what was going to happen. He knew his mission. He knew why he was there. He wasn't there just to be there. He didn't go to Samaria just to sit by the well. But he was there on a mission. He was there because he knew that he had to touch some people's lives. He knew that this woman, the Samaria, was going to be there at the well. She came often. She came there almost at the same time. She came there for a certain reason. She came there in order to draw some water. But Jesus said to her, this woman, to give me to drink. That was a simple request, to give me something, to give me some water, to give me to drink. And because his disciples had gone away, they had gone to buy some meat, as the word of God said. And then the woman of Samaria wanted to know, how is it that you a Jew, why are you asking me, who am a Samaritan? But the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. She knew that the Jews, they didn't really talk to them. They didn't want to be around them. They didn't want to be in their company. So you a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and you want me to give you some water, and you're talking to me? And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew, come on, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, since she didn't know who she was conversating with, she didn't know who she was talking to, but he said that if she knew who he was, that he would give her that living water. I'll give you some water that you don't even have to come back. You don't have to come and to draw water. Now, he wasn't really talking about the water that was in the well. Yes, he wanted her to give him of the water. But he was enlightening her. He was letting her know that I want to give you some water that's more important than the water that's in this well. I want to give you something that's going to give you eternal life. I want to give you something that's going to cause you not to thirst, that I can quench that spiritual thirst on the inside, something that you don't have, something that you don't know about. But she did not understand what he was saying, because this woman was a sinner. This woman came purposely in the draw water. She didn't come while the other ladies that was in that town came, because she didn't have a really good reputation. She came so that she didn't have to come when the rest of them come, so she don't have to be ridiculed, so she don't have to be talked about, so she don't have to look. The people look upon her like she was strange. But Jesus knew that he wanted to save her, because the word of God said he came to seek and to save them that are lost. See, Jesus is teaching us this morning, because there are many people that are lost. There are many that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they are Christians. They are people that will avoid them. They're keeping that saying that they're saved. They're saying that they're sanctified. They're saying that they're filled with God's Spirit. But because of the way that they look, or because of what they do for a living, or because of their lifestyle, there are people who will go the other way or move on the other side of the road. I don't sit in the company of the present. I don't conversate with them. But Jesus wanted this woman to be saved. I said he came to seek and to save them that are lost. Don't you know today that there are many people that need to be touched, that life needs to be changed? But here we see that this woman was, she was preparing to give her something that she had never experienced before, that she really didn't know anything about. She knew some things about that Christ was coming, but she did not have that inner spirit on the inside. She did not have revelation. She did not have that anointing. She was not saved. And here we look at that 11th verse, and it says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. I don't see anything in your hand. You don't have a bucket. How are you going to give me some water to drink? Listen, he was saying that, and not only that, the well is deep. This is a deep well. From where then have you that living water? How are you going to give me some living water? You don't have anything to draw with. You don't have anything to really to give me some water. She said to him, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again. You can come time after time to the well. You can come three and four times a day. And if you don't get the water, if you drink of this water, there's going to come a time that you're going to have to come back. Because this water is going to be needful and the natural to your body, but this water is going to make you thirst again. But the word tells us in that 14th verse, he said, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Come on. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I believe right here that somebody ought to shout praise the Lord, because he was saying to them, she was saying to this woman, he's saying to us, that whosoever drank of the water that is in this well, whoever drank of the water that's in the refrigerator, whosoever drank of the water that's from the bottle, you're going to thirst again. You're going to want some more of that water, because you're going to need something to quench that thirst. But he's saying to her, and he's saying to you, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give to him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give to him shall be in him a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Jesus got her attention. Sir, I want this water. Sir, give me this water. If I don't have to come to the well, and if I don't have to draw any more water, I don't have to be ridiculed. I don't have to be talked about. God, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to draw. See there, I don't want to have to come to draw any water anymore. Come on. But Jesus said to her, go, Go call your husband and come here. Go and call your husband and then come back. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. And that said you truly. You said it. You said it. But here the word of God is bringing her closer to Jesus. He was showing him, her, that he was God. He was letting her know that I'm offering you something that you can have everlasting. I'm telling you right now, when I ask you to go call your husband, and you're saying to me that you don't have a husband, well, I hear what you say, because you have had five husbands. Jesus just met this woman, just met her at the well, but he knows all things. He knows everything. He knew the purpose that he was coming to this well in order to save this woman, to let her know that she can have life and have it everlasting. He told her that you had five husbands. And not only have you had five husbands, but who the person that you're living with, the person that you now have, is not your husband. And then the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, now, you know, something is strange about this. Now, I know that this is not really an average man. I know that something is different about him. This man told me about my lifestyle. I never met him before. He done told me that I had five husbands when I told him that I don't have any. I had five husbands, and even the man I have right now is not my husband. So she knows that this must be a prophet. This must be a prophet that's talking to me. And then in that 20th verse, it says, our father worshiped in this mountain. And you said that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, but salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now here, when the true worshiper, God is looking for a true worshiper. God want to make this woman a true worshiper. God want to let her know who she was worshiping. He said, the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. There is no way that we can worship God but in the spirit and in the truth. Believing God, believing on the Son of God, believing that he is God, believing that he died and that he was crucified and he arose that third day. Believing that he is the one that have paid the price 2,000 years ago for our sins and for our transgression. Knowing that here the Father said, in here he said, the Father seeketh to worship him. God is a spirit. He is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we all know truth because the word of God say, my word is truth. Word of God say to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said, we shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. When you are in bondage, when you are bound, when you don't know him, when you don't have a relationship with him, then how are you going to worship him? Except you receive Jesus Christ, except you know who he is. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah comes. She knew that much, which is called Christ. When he is coming, he will tell us all things. Look at here. This is what she's saying. She said, I know that the Messiah is come. I know that Messiah is going to come, which is called a Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak to you am he. I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that you are looking for. Who you're looking for? I am the one that you're looking for. I am the Christ. She was saying that when he comes, when Christ comes, he's going to tell them all things. Look what God did and how he let her know that about her own life, about what was happening in her life and who she was and who she had and who she now has. He knew that this woman needed eternal life and needed to be saved. And in that 27th verse, and it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled. They were surprised that he talked with the woman. Now, why would they be surprised that Jesus would talk to this woman? He's the Savior of the world. You know, sometimes, you know, that gives you something to think about. When we think that we are somebody, we're actually nobody. But we think that we have it all together. And when we can afford other people that we think that is not worth talking to, they may be a homemonger. They may be a liar. They may be a murderer. They may be a person that caused of strife, whatever they may be. You think, oh, I'm not going to talk to them. You know, and why are you talking to them? You know, they could have done some terrible things. But yet, the word of God tells us that the disciples, they marveled, and they were surprised that he talked to this woman. Yet no man said, what seek you, or why talk you with her? He was teaching them as well. We need somebody to teach us. We need somebody to instruct us. We need somebody to tell us the right way. And this is the word of God that will give us the way. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can understand the word of God, and we can stand on the word of God, and we'll know that these people are people that were sinners, that are sinners, like we all were sinners. But we were saved by the grace of God. And I thank God that God made it his business to go to Samaria, you know, to see this woman. Because as we read in the word of God, that he was concerned about her spiritual welfare. How many people are you concerned about this morning? How many people that are you concerned about their soul? How many people that are you concerned whether they're going to die and go to hell or not? How many people are you concerned about? Jesus was concerned about this woman. And when we begin to read the word of God, we're going to see what happened to this woman and how she affects other people's lives. The woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city. And said to the men, she didn't go, listen, she didn't go to the women. probably wasn't even talking to her. Where God said, she went to the men and she said to them, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She knew it was right. She knew everything that Jesus was saying about her was true. She said, is not this the Christ? Then they came out of the city and they came to him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Come on. I don't need any food right now. I'm here on a mission. I came, and I have to seek and to save them that are lost. But they didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand that he was already at work. They didn't understand that this woman was part of the mission, why he was there. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, come on, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That is why I was sent, to do the work of the Father. In that 35th verse, it says, say not you that there are 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gather fruit to the life eternal, that both he that sow and he that reap may rejoice together. So look on the field. We need to look on the fields this morning, not the fields in the natural, but we ought to look at the fields of people. We ought to look at the other people that are not saved. There are many of them. The harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful. But what are we doing in order to get the harvest, the people saved? How concerned are we about their soul? Because they are ready. They want to be saved. They want to be delivered. They want to be free. I'm talking about that alcoholic. I'm talking about that drunkard. I'm talking about that homemonger. I'm talking about that drug dealer. I'm talking about that harlot. I'm talking about the person on Wall Street. I'm talking about the people in the White House. I'm talking about the people on the city council. I'm talking about the people in the schoolhouse. I'm talking about the people in the university. I'm talking about the people in your neighborhood. I'm talking about all of them that need to be saved. For the field is right. It's ready. They are ready to harvest. It's ready for us to go in and to harvest them, to tell them about Jesus that already stepped into the harvest when he went to Samaria, to get this woman. He was concerned about her and even those that were there. He said, and he that reaped receiveth wages, and he was about to receive a wage and gather fruit to life eternal. Come on. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One sow and another reap. You may go and you may speak into a person, whether it's a man, a woman, boy, or girl, and you may sow that seed. You may tell them about Jesus. And maybe they didn't at that time say, I'm ready to repent of my sin. I'm ready to just to turn around. But then another will come, and then another one will go and to witness to that same person. And then that person could get saved. Another soul. One soul. other is going to be able to reap.
He said, I send you to reap, come on, that whereon you bestow no labor. You're not trying to get anybody saved. You're not concerned about people's lives. You're not telling them about Jesus. You're not giving them a try. You're not telling them that Jesus loves them. You're not being kind one to another. You're not being tenderhearted to one another. You're not forgiving one another. You're not in the spirit of God. You don't have the love of God inside of you. We don't have the love of God inside of us. We're not going to win souls. We're not going to get people saved. We're not going to change people's lives. Oh, my God, that we're not in the will of the Father. God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not want people to perish. He does not want people to die and go to hell. He doesn't want them to spend eternity in hell. He wants them to spend eternity with him. But how are they going to be saved if we don't give the invitation? The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. It's not like a party when people will invite certain people to the party, and only those that have the invitation can come to that party. Or it's not like that school type of party or a thing that they have, that they have a whole lot of kids that come. But sometimes, if you're not in the group, then they don't want you to come in. But God is altogether different because he doesn't have respect of person. He wants people to be saved. Yes, the black, the white, the yellow, the red. Oh, my God. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come in. He wants them to be ready. The Bible says, let us know. We know neither the day or the hour when he comes. For the word of God says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I thank God today that the Lord is showing us through this word of God that he is concerned about our soul. I thank God that he was so concerned about my soul and your soul that he paid that price, that I could live and not die, that I could repent of my sins, that I could come unto the ark of safety. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. And then in that 38th verse, it says, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labor, and you are entered into that labor. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I have done. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you not hear? God used that woman that was living a life of sin, that woman that had 5 husbands, that woman that had a husband that wasn't her own. He used that woman. He told her the word. He gave her life. He gave her hope. And she went, to spread the news to the men. And she told him to come see a man that told me everything that I have done. I mean, she was an evangelist at work. She was a woman that the Lord had stirred up. She was a woman that God got into her spirit. spirit. That was a woman that she want others to come as well. Come and see the man. Come and see this man that told me everything that I have done. And when they came, they came and they received the word of God. They believed God's word. Their life was changed because of the fact they heard the word of God. If we can just give the word of God to people, if we can just tell them that Jesus loves them, if we can just tell them to repent of their sins, to turn away from their wicked ways, if we can just tell them that the Lord came to seek and to save them that are lost, and that he sent you, he sent me to let them know that he loves them. And no matter what state they're in, God didn't bash this woman because of what she was doing. He was enlightening her. He was just telling her what she did. So let her to build her faith and her confidence in him. He wasn't trying to make her feel bad about what she done. But all he was looking for repentance. He was looking for her to believe on him, to know that he was God, to know that he was God all by himself, that I'm that Savior. I'm the one that you are looking for. I'm the one that can save. I'm the one that can deliver. So the men, the other people began to believe on Jesus. And you know what they said? They said, now we believe, not because you said it, because we've heard it for ourselves. But you know what? This woman was instrumental. They would have never heard the word unless this woman would have gone and tell them about what she had saw, who she was in the company of. To come see a man, would they have come? Jesus used her as an instrument, as a vessel, as an ambassador, as a representative to go as an evangelist to get those men that most likely she had some dealing with. Come see a man. Can you not tell somebody today to come see a man that have told me everything that I've done? Come see Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. I want you to have somebody that I've had in my life since the time that Christ came into my life. I have not been always saved. I have not always known Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But because I heard the word, because somebody came to me and told me about the word of God, my life has never been the same. I mean, you could tell them, you because you know that you weren't always saved. You know that you were probably like this woman. You know that you did things that was not according to God's word. And even if you never did those things that woman did, we were all yet sinners. We were yet sinners. And until we repent of our sin, and if Christ didn't come into our lives, and we just was that person that put a good deed, and we did things that was right in our own eyes, and did not repent, then it's not going to give us eternal life. But except we receive Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as we receive, as this woman was able to receive him, as a man that was able to receive him and get saved, God will make the difference in your life. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for this word of God. Come on. God, we thank you, God, for sending forth this word. We thank you, God, for the thousands and thousands of people that are listening to this broadcast. We thank you, God, for the people, God, that you have allowed us to speak into their lives. Those, God, that are not saved. God, those that do not know you, God, as their personal Savior. I pray this morning, God, that the light of heaven will come on. I pray this morning, God, that they, God, will receive you. God, that they don't have to thirst anymore. God, that they don't have to go, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to and fro. God, that they don't have to make the God, that they were in before. But, Father, I pray, God, that they'll say yes to mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised up from the dead. God has said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I pray now that those hear us, Lord, become doers of the word. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for what you have done, God, what you're doing, God, according to your word. And, Lord, I pray, God, for those that are sick, those that have infirmities, God, those that, Lord God, that the enemy are trying, God, to take their lives. God, those that are trying, the enemy is trying to bring strokes, Father, heart attacks, Father God, tumors, all of these things, Lord God, the diseases, God, upon them, viruses and things. Lord, I send the word of healing. God, you paid stripes upon your back for all of these things, God, that the people are going through. And I pray and I send the word to them even now. And I pray, God, that their faith, God, will be, Lord God, will go, Father God, to grow stronger, go to the next level. And you, God, that they will know that you are God and you are God all by yourself. And God, that they will receive their healing. And for this, I will glorify and I will praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary McCoy on the Hour of Power broadcast. Please tune in with us on next Wednesday as we again go before the throne of grace, as we again preach the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God on the Hour of Power broadcast. May Lord God bless and keep you is our prayer.